everybody, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine. I'm your host. And today is the day after Valentine's Day. I did not record yesterday because I was busy getting ready for Valentine's Day. And we celebrate simple, quiet, no big fanfare. We exchange simple gifts, nothing big, just because. We want to acknowledge the day and show each other that we love each other. Of course, we do that every day. Not every day, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, but we did a, you know, simple dinner out, no big deal. We split dinners. My husband and I feel like the portions that you get are so huge that you know, we can't eat all of it. And we don't really want to bring it home. Not a big deal. So we split meals. It is what it is. Not because we're cheap, not because we can't afford it. I can't eat all of it. You know, I get kids' meals a lot. So anyway, I'm going off the beaten path here. I hope everybody enjoyed their day yesterday. And I'm going to double up today. So we're going to do episode 112.4 and 112.5 so that we can start fresh tomorrow. I will give you your Bible verse of the day. It is short and sweet. And before I start in, I wanted to just say a couple of things. For anybody who's feeling maybe a little discouraged, maybe things aren't working out the way you thought they were going to work out, or I don't know what your scenario is, but God just put this on my heart to kind of be a little transparent. You know, we don't have a lot of followers. I believe that whoever is listening is supposed to be listening, and if this is supposed to be a bigger ministry than it is, God will make it that for whatever it's supposed to be. We're not flashy. You know, we don't have a big set. We don't have big cameras. We don't have a big crew behind it. I have this tiny little camera on top of my computer and a light that my son gave to me for Christmas. And that's it, and a microphone. It's very simple because I don't want this to be about me. I don't want it to be flashy. I don't believe that that's what this is called to be. I believe it's supposed to be all about, you know, reading God's word, getting to know him better. And I felt 2 years ago that I just wanted to be a stepping stone to help others to get engaged with their reading of their Bible. Because once you start reading your Bible, you get to know God so much better. And the further and the deeper you get into it, the better you get. I know that sounds so crazy, but it is true. And then you start seeing how God works and his plans unfolding. Not just in your own life, but out there in the world with things that are going on every day. So I tend to not be big and flashy. Jeremiah's not big and flashy. You know, he's got the same setup that I have, or pretty similar. You know, we do this because we want to help those to engage in God's word. So, but in, you know, every once in a while, the enemy kind of gets a hold of you and gets into your head and, you know, starts to make you think, well, why am I bothering to do this? You know, if I don't have a lot of followers, you know, what's the point? It's not about how many followers. It's really not. It's all about the followers, those who are listening. And if you just happen to find this website, or if you found this podcast somewhere, it's not an accident, because I don't think it's very easy to find. So I believe that there's a reason for it. And so I know I'm kind of going a little long on this, but don't get discouraged, because I know there's many days that I do feel discouraged. I'm thinking, some people get in there and they start, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you start comparing yourself and you're thinking, well, how come they're getting, you know, 100,000 likes, or, you know, people are engaging with them or whatever they're doing. You're like, what are they doing right that I'm not doing right? You know what? It's not a matter of me doing it right or wrong. I'm doing it the way God's leading me and Jeremiah to do it. And so it's not, again, it's not about us. It's about God. And I don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged if things don't seem like what they are. Or, you know, a very wise man told me and my husband a very long time ago, keep doing what you're doing until you hear otherwise. Well, I haven't heard otherwise yet, so I'm going to keep plugging along. And, you know, if there's only 5 listeners or 10 listeners or 20 listeners, you know what? There's 20 more people who are listening and reading the Word of God every day, 5 days a week. That's my little bit today. I felt very led to say, don't get discouraged. If you are actively seeking God's will and you are actively doing what God wants you to do and you're being obedient to what He's telling you to do, then good things will happen. You will be blessed. It might not be right away. You know, sometimes God's blessings come a little bit further down the line. It's not in our time, it's in His time. So with that said, I'm going to say it again, do not get discouraged. That's all I got to say. Now, I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you a Bible verse, and I think your Bible verse kind of goes along with what I've just started saying. And I wanted to say this before I even picked out this Bible verse, and I feel like it sort of goes hand in hand. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll move on. Heavenly Father, holy and mighty God, we come to You with hearts of thanksgiving and gratefulness and love. We love You so much, and we exalt You above all other names. We know that You are the God who created the universe. We know that You are the God of the founding fathers of the Jewish nation. We are thankful that we have that foundation that we're reading through right now that brought us all the way through to Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. We are thankful that He was obedient to You and did what He was supposed to do. He came to this earth as a mortal and lived on this earth and lived a godly life, a sinless life, and died for our sins, because that's what He came to this earth to do. He was the sacrificial lamb. The spotless blood of Jesus Christ covers all of our sins, and we ask forgiveness of all of our sins, all of them, the ones that came in the past, the ones that are here in the front, in the present, and those that are coming in the future, because we are not perfect, and we are going to sin, and we make bad choices, but we know that through the blood of Jesus, we are forgiven. Lord, thank You for taking care of us, watching over us, and blessing us in so many ways, ways that sometimes we don't even know about. Lord, I am thankful for those who are out there, who are listening, whether they are new to this podcast or have been longtime listeners from the first day. Lord, I thank You for them. I ask You to bless them, watch over them as they are reading through Your Word and getting to know You better. It's an amazing journey to be on, and I'm thankful that we get to read Your Word, to read Your story, to read Your autobiography, and it's a manual to guide and direct us to live godly lives. So, Lord, thank You for providing this holy Word for us. Lord, order our steps, guide and direct us, help us to stay on Your path. Help us to be in Your will, doing what You want us to do. Help us to not be discouraged. Help us to thwart the plans of the evil one, to the enemy, Lord. We want to rebuke anything that he has to tell us, anything to give us any doubt over what our purpose is here in this life. Lord, we invite You into this time in Your Word. We ask You to bless it, to anoint it, and to reveal to us what we're supposed to understand today. Lord, I'm asking also a hedge of protection around my family, around Jeremiah's family, Lord. It just feels like there's always something going on. I pray for those who have not come to know Jesus or have wandered off the path a little bit. I pray that You bring them back. I pray that they will be a shining beacon of who You are, so that You can get the glory for them coming back to you or to become part of your family. So I just pray blessings over all of our families. Lord, watch over us, guide and direct us. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say and keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm sorry. I know that I've kind of wandered on a little bit, but I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that, you know, just because we run a Bible study and a podcast doesn't mean that we're not subject to the same doubts and fears that you might be going through right now. We are just as human as you are. And stuff happens to us and to our families just like you. So don't be discouraged. Just continue to have your faith in God and in Jesus, because ultimately God wins and we win because of that. All right. Well, this is short and sweet, I got to tell you. And it kind of says basically what I kind of said. And this comes from Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. Very simple. It's true. There is nothing that is impossible for God. God is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the final say-so in all of this. You know, this is just a sidestep in the enemy's world. He has a little bit of freedom out here, but ultimately, and he knows it because he's read the entire Bible. He knows it. He's very familiar with what's going on. And so all we got to say is, you know what? God's in control and he's going to take care of it. So nothing is impossible with God. Have faith. And that's it. Very simple. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and get into the next two chapters. We are episode 112.4 and 0.5. And it starts with chapter 17 in 2 Samuel. Now Ahithophel urged Absalom, let me choose 12,000 men to start out after David tonight. I will catch up with him while he is weary and discouraged. He and his troops will panic and everyone will run away. Then I will kill only the king, and I will bring all the people back to you as a bride returns to her husband. After all, it is only one man's life that you seek. Then you will be at peace with all the people. This plan seemed good to Absalom and to all the elders of Israel. Hushai counters Ahithophel's advice. But then Absalom said, bring in Hushai, the Archite. Let's see what he thinks about this. When Hushai arrived, Absalom told him what Ahithophel had said. Then he asked, what is your opinion? Should we follow Ahithophel's advice? If not, what do you suggest? Well, Hushai replied to Absalom, this time Ahithophel has made a mistake. You know your father and his men, they are mighty warriors. Right now they are as enraged as a mother bear who has been robbed of her cubs. And remember that your father is an experienced man of war. He won't be spending the night among the troops. He is probably already hidden in some pit or cave. And when he comes out and attacks and a few of your men fall, there will be panic among your troops. And the word will spread that Absalom's men are being slaughtered. Then even the bravest soldiers, though they have the heart of a lion, will be paralyzed with fear. For all Israel knows what a mighty warrior your father is and how courageous his men are. I recommend that you mobilize the entire army of Israel, bringing them from as far away as Dan in the north and Beersheba in the south. That way you will have an army as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And I advise that you personally lead the troops. When we find David, we'll fall on him like dew that falls on the ground. Then neither he nor any of his men will be left alive. And if David were to escape into some town, you will have all Israel there at your command. Then we can take ropes and drag the walls of the town into the nearest valley until every stone is torn down. Then Absalom and all the men of Israel said, Hushai's advice is better than Ahithophel's. For the Lord had determined to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel, which really was the better plan, so that he could bring disaster on Absalom. Hushai warns David to escape. Hushai told Zadok and Abiathar, the priest, what Ahithophel had said to Absalom and the elders of Israel, and what he himself had advised instead. Quick, he told them, find David and urge him not to stay at the shallows of the Jordan River tonight. He must go across at once into the wilderness beyond. Otherwise, he will die and his entire army with him. Jonathan and Ahimaaz had been staying at on Rogel so as not to be seen entering and leaving the city. Arrangements had been made for a servant girl to bring them the message they were to take to King David. But a boy spotted them at on Rogel, and he told Absalom about it. So they quickly escaped to Baruim, where a man hid them down inside a well in his courtyard. The man's wife put a cloth over the top of the well and scattered grain on it to dry in the sun, so no one suspected they were there. When Absalom's men arrived, they asked her, have you seen Ahimaaz and Jonathan? The woman replied, they were here, but they crossed over the brook. Absalom's men looked for them without success and returned to Jerusalem. Then the two men crawled out of the well and hurried on to King David. Quick, they told him, cross the Jordan tonight. And they told him how Ahithophel had advised that he be captured and killed. So David and all the people with him went across the Jordan River during the night, and they were all on the other bank before dawn. When Ahithophel realized that his advice had not been followed, he saddled his donkey, went to his hometown, set his affairs in order, and hanged himself. He died there and was buried in the family tomb. David soon arrived at Mahanaim. By now, Absalom had mobilized the entire army of Israel and was leading his troops across the Jordan River. Absalom had appointed Amasa as commander of his army, replacing Joab, who had been commander under David. Amasa was Joab's cousin. His father was Jether, an Ishmaelite. His mother, Abigail, daughter of Nahash, was the sister of Joab's mother, Zeruiah. Absalom and the Israelite army set up camp in the land of Gilead. When David arrived at Mahanaim, he was warmly greeted by Shobai, son of Nahash, who came from Rabbah of the Ammonites, and by Maker, son of Amiel from Lo-Debar, and by Barzillai of Gilead from Rogalim. These are some big words, sorry. They brought sleeping mats, cooking pots, serving bowls, wheat and barley, flour and roasted grain, beans, lentils, honey, butter, sheep, goats, and cheese for David and those who were with him. For they said, you must all be very hungry and tired and thirsty after your long march through the wilderness. All right, starting to get thick here. So to recap, so I did highlight little spots here just to kind of get a little gauge on what's going on here. So Ahithophel is telling Absalom to get 12,000 men to catch up with David while he's tired and discouraged, and his troops will panic and everyone will run away, and then he was going to kill the king. But Hushai counters Ahithophel's advice, probably knowing that that was a good idea to do it because you got to catch somebody while their guard is down. So, of course, Hushai is trying to protect David. So he tells Absalom This time, Ahithophel has made a bad mistake. You know your father and his men. They are mighty warriors. Right now, they are as enraged as a mother bear who has been robbed of her cubs. And remember that your father is an experienced man of war. I didn't highlight all this. He won't be spending the night among the troops. He's already in a cave. And when he comes out and attacks, your troops are going to be in a panic. And the word's going to spread that Absalom's men are being slaughtered. Then even the bravest soldiers, though they have the heart of a lion, will be paralyzed with fear. For all Israel, I did highlight this, for all Israel knows what a mighty warrior your father is and how courageous his men are. So I recommend, this is Hushai saying, that you mobilize the entire army of Israel all the way as north as Dan, or from as far away as Dan, north of Beersheba, in the north, and Dan in the north, Beersheba in the south. That way you will have an army as numerous as the sands of the seashore. And I advise that you personally lead the troops. So he wants Absalom in the fight. Okay? Now, when we get into the next chapter tomorrow, you're going to hear opposite from David's troops. Okay? So he's advising that he gets into the fight. And when we find David, we'll fall on him like dew that falls on the ground. We're going to just pounce on him. And nobody will be left alive. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, Hushai's advice is better than Ahithophel's, because they're looking at this going, oh, we're going to defeat him. But the Lord had determined to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel, which really was the better plan, so that he could bring disaster on Absalom. So again, here's God intervening. He's doing what God does best. He fights and he makes it right. And he's always trying to get the Israelites in the right place. Okay, so then you know what? I just realized something. I'm going to stop here because I have to actually read another chapter, I think. I put 112.5 next to Hushai warns David to escape. That's wrong. 112.5 is chapter 18. I'm so sorry. I'm sitting here like delusional, making a huge mistake. Okay, so I'm going to have to read more, but let's go ahead and read through chapter 17. So Hushai tells Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, what Ahithophel's plan was, and he tells them to tell David not to stay at the shallows of the Jordan River. He needs to move into the wilderness. So Jonathan and that name that I can't say right, Ahimaaz, had been staying at Onrogel so as not to be found, but the boy sees them, so they hide him. The army, the soldiers don't find them, and they leave, and then, of course, they crawl out of the well, and they hurry, and they tell David that he needs to cross the Jordan tonight, and they tell him what Ahithophel's advice was and how he was supposed to be captured. So David and all the people with him went across the Jordan River during the night, and they were all on the other side before dawn. Ahithophel kills himself because I have no idea why he killed himself, but I mean, I guess because his plan was not followed, and he knows that in the end it's not going to fare well for him if he gets caught, probably. So David arrives at Mahanaim, and Absalom is mobilizing the entire army of Israel and was leading his troops across the Jordan River. Absalom had appointed Amasa as commander of his army, replacing Joab. Amasa is Joab's cousin. So they're all kind of all related. And so then in 26, Absalom and the Israeli army set up camp in the land of Gilead. But David arrives at Mahanaim. He was warmly greeted by Shobai, who of Nahash, who came from Rabbah and of the Ammonites, and by Makir, son of Amiel from Lodabar, and by Barzillai of Gilead from Rogalim. And they feed them, and they give them rest, and now they're getting ready for battle. Okay, so I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead and read 18. This is going to be a really long episode. I apologize. Absalom's defeat and death. David now mustered the men who were with him and appointed generals and captains to lead him. He sent the troops out in three groups, placing one group under Joab, one under Joab's brother Abishai, son of Zeruiah, and one under Ittai, the man from Gath. We remember his name, right? The king told his troops, "I am going out with you." Now here is the other side of it. But his men objected strongly. "You must not go. You are worth 10,000 of us, and it is better that you stay here in the town and send help if we need it." You know, it's opposite of what happened to Absalom. "If you think that that's the best plan, I'll do it," the king answers. So he stood alongside the gate of the town as all the troops marched out. The king gave his command to Joab, Abishai, and Ittai. "For my sake, deal gently with young Absalom." So he's saying, don't kill him. He put out that command. And all the troops heard the king give this order to his commanders. So the battle began in the forest of Ephraim, and the Israelite troops were beaten back by David's men. There was a great slaughter that day, and 20,000 men laid down their lives. The battle raged all across the countryside, and more men died because of the forest than were killed by the sword. I don't know what that means. During the battle, Absalom happened to come upon some of David's men. He tried to escape on his mule, but as he rode beneath the thick branches of a great tree, his hair got caught in the tree. His mule kept going and left him dangling in the air. One of David's men saw what had happened and told Joab, "I saw Absalom dangling from a great tree." "What?" Joab demanded. "You saw him there and didn't kill him? I would have rewarded you with 10 pieces of silver and a hero's belt." "I would not kill the king's son for even 1,000 pieces of silver," the man replied to Joab. "We all heard the king say to you and Abishai and Ittai, 'For my sake, please spare young Absalom.' And if I had betrayed the king by killing his son, and the king would certainly find out who did it, you yourself would be the first to abandon me." "Enough of this nonsense," Joab said. Then he took three daggers and plunged them into Absalom's heart as he dangled, still alive, in the great tree. 10 of Joab's young armor-bearers then surrounded Absalom and killed him. Then Joab blew the ram's horn, and his men returned from chasing the army of Israel. They threw Absalom's body into a deep pit in the forest and piled a great heap of stones over it, and all Israel fled to their homes. During his lifetime, Absalom had built a monument to himself in the king's valley, for he said, "I have no son to carry on my name." He named the monument after himself and is known as Absalom's Monument to this day. David mourns Absalom's death. Then Zadok's son Ahimaaz said, "Let me run to the king with the good news that the Lord has rescued him from his enemies." "No," Joab told him, "it wouldn't be good news to the king that his son is dead. You can be my messenger another time, but not today." Then Joab said to a man from Ethiopia, "Go tell the king what you have seen." The man bowed and ran off. But Ahimaaz continued to plead with Joab, "Whatever happens, please let me go too." "Why should you go, my son?" Joab replied. "There will be no reward for your news." "Yes, but let me go anyway," he begged. Joab finally said, "All right, go ahead." So Ahimaaz took the less demanding route by way of the plain and ran to Mahanaim ahead of the Ethiopian. While David was sitting between the inner and outer gates of the town, the watchman climbed to the roof of the gateway by the wall. As he looked, he saw a lone man running toward him. He shouted the news down to David, and the king replied, "If he is alone, he has news." As the messenger came closer, the watchman saw another man running toward them. He shouted down, "Here comes another one." The king replied, "He also will have news." The first man runs like Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, the watchman said. "He is a good man and comes with good news," the king replied. Then Ahimaaz cried out to the king, "Everything is all right." He bowed before the king with his face to the ground and said, "Praise to the Lord your God, who has handed over the rebels who dared to stand against my lord the king." "What about young Absalom?" the king demanded. "Is he all right?" Ahimaaz replied, "When Joab told me to come, there was a lot of commotion, but I didn't know what was happening." "Wait here," the king told him, so Ahimaaz stepped aside. Then the man from Ethiopia arrived and said, "I have good news for my lord the king. Today the Lord has rescued you from all those who rebelled against you." "What about young Absalom?" the king demanded. "Is he all right?" And the Ethiopian replied, "May all of your enemies, my lord the king, both now and in the future, share the fate of that young man." The king was overcome with emotion. He went up to the room over the gateway and burst into tears. And as he went, he cried, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." All right, sorry about that. I'm sorry that I forgot to read the second chapter. I'm crazy that way. So this tells us of the defeat of Absalom, his death, and the victory of David. David ends up ultimately winning. But he also lost his son in the end. But if you go back to the original here, Absalom, he was being disobedient, trying to steal his father's throne and, being a king. So ultimately when we are disobedient, not good things happen. I highlighted, verse 1, telling us how David was, gathering his troops, how he wanted to go into battle, but his troops said, "No, you need to be safe, and you're worth much more than us." But then he gives the command, "For my sake, deal gently with young Absalom." So then you go over to where, let me see, during the battle, Absalom happened to come upon David's men. His hair gets caught, and one of David's men, doesn't say who it was, sees Absalom dangling from the tree, tells Joab. Joab's like, "Why didn't you kill him?" And he's like, "I'm not going to kill the king's son because I don't want to die for, doing exactly opposite of what he commanded everybody." And then, of course, Joab, which I think, I don't know because I didn't read into the future here, but I think Joab's going to get slapped down maybe because, he's the one that set the order in motion for them to kill. Well, he stabbed him with the three spears or daggers. And then it took 10 of Joab's young armor bearers to surround Absalom and kill him. Why would it take 10 of them? I don't know, especially if he's dangling from the tree. But I wasn't there, so I have no idea. And then all of Israel flees to their homes, after Joab blows the ram's horn and his men return from chasing the army of Israel. And all of Israel goes back to their homes. And then, of course, there's a monument to this day known as Absalom's Monument he put up for himself. David mourns Absalom's death. He finds out that Absalom died, and he bursts into tears and cries out. This is the very end. Now, I don't know what the whole purpose of, what's his name? Ahimaaz. So Joab tells him it wouldn't be good news for the king that his son is dead. You could be my messenger another time, but not today. And then Joab sends the Ethiopian to tell David what happened that day. But Ahimaaz gets ahead of the Ethiopian and tells David praise the Lord. Praise to the Lord your God who has handed over the rebels who dared to stand against my lord and king. And he's like, well, where's Absalom? And he's like, well, it was a little confusing. I don't know exactly what happened to him. So he kind of lies to the king. Then the Ethiopian shows up and he's the one that, you know, gives the message to the king. Now, does David get, you know, what's that saying? You know, don't kill the messenger. You know, is the Ethiopian going to get killed because he sent that message? I don't know. You know, is that the reason why Ahimaaz wanted to give good news instead of bad news? I don't know. Maybe it'll all come to light when we get to read in the next chapter tomorrow. That's it for today. I know I'm really way over than I normally do. Please forgive me. I apologize. I hope you hung in there from the beginning. But as always, I'm still going to go a little bit longer because I never leave this podcast without saying the prayer of salvation. There's maybe one person out there who feels like God is calling them to become a follower of Christ. And if that's the case, I will lead you in the prayer. It's not about me. It's not about my prayer. It's about you and your heart and following God's instructions. So if you want to be obedient to what God's telling you, then this is your moment to say the prayer. You know, and you can always say your own prayer. You don't have to do it with me, but I'm merely going to be that facilitator. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It is his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations and welcome into the adopted family of Jesus Christ. You are now a brother or sister in Christ. New day, new birthday. We always say, mark it in your Bible, maybe under today's reading, that today is your new birthday. Maybe notate it on your calendar, on your phone, or on your wall, you know, if you're old school like me. But make sure you celebrate every year that this is your day. I don't know what day it is for you. I don't even know what year it might be for you. I have no idea. If you just happen to stumble upon this, then thank God. But we also encourage you to find a pastor, get to a church. You know, if you haven't been to church in a while, maybe you've got some questions. I don't know. But get to a pastor, answer those questions, get involved with a church that you feel comfortable with and that you're going to be fed spiritually. There's so many opportunities for spreading the word and being the hands and feet of Jesus. You can volunteer, you can join a ministry, you can start a Bible study, get part of a small group. There's mission work to do, but figure out what gifts God gave you to use and use them. Because you don't want to be sitting on the sidelines. You want to get right into the thick of it. So, and if you did accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we'd love to hear from you. You can email either one of us, me or Jeremiah, Lorraine@leapoffaithpodcast.org or Jeremiah@leapoffaithpodcast.org. You can message us on Facebook or Instagram, you know, leave a comment. If you need prayer, you can, same thing, email us, let us know. We would love to pray for you and just communicate with us. We always love to hear from our listeners. So, and I haven't said this in a while. Welcome to all the new listeners. And thank you to all the old timers who have been with us for the last 2 years. So that's it for today. Thank you for hanging in there with me and my little bit of confusion as to which chapters we were reading. So thank you for hanging in there, and God bless you. Have a great day. And I will see you hopefully tomorrow with Jeremiah. So God bless you, and we'll see you then.